Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world. I was chatting to somebody last week, Sunday, at the end of the sermon, and they helped me to sort of put in a good category what this First John series is going to be like. She helped me to see that this First John series will almost be like a series that you are watching on Netflix. You may not binge watch every episode in a single sitting, but when you go back to watch it, you simply pick up from where you left off. In many ways, this First John series will be like that. You're not going to get every episode on consecutive Sundays, but when the Lord willing grants me the opportunity to preach again, I will simply pick up from where I left off. In this episode, however, I want us to start with an activity, because if I called it a game, some people would be angry at me. So let's call it an activity. I want us to start with a little activity called Spot the Character. The aim of this activity is it's not supposed to be difficult, but it is to get participation. So again, I know that I'm not speaking to chairs, but to people in the room. And so all that's going to happen is a picture is going to come up on the screen, and I want you to tell me what is that person. So a good example would be if somebody's standing there with a camera, together we say, cameraman. Simple enough. Let's try the first one. Who is that? Oh, praise the Lord, there's people in the house. The second one? I knew this one would be tricky, but it's a grandma with her daughter who could also be a mom as well. The third one? Hey, it's also you. This one is for the kids, and so I'm glad you responded. The soccer player. Number four, a pastor. So I put another picture of a guy who was wearing jeans and a t-shirt. I was like, hey, pastors don't look like that anymore. But again, maybe someone is going to send me something interesting. The last one is? An astronaut. Great job. The point of this activity is to get us to see that society already teaches us that you can identify people by the uniforms that they wear. Unfortunately, Christianity is not like that. You cannot spot a Christian by looking like this. Yeah, I think there's a... Hey! Not all Christians look like that. But John is going to tell us that there is a specific way that you can spot who are those who are genuine Christians. He's also going to let us know, not only how can we spot, but how can we know that we are children of God. Friends, as I prepared this sermon is important for every one of us. It's important to us because it's supposed to encourage us that those who are in Jesus Christ can be encouraged that there is assurance for our faith. This is to encourage you that you can know, that you do know, that you are a child of God. Assurance, friends, is critical. It's important in our faith because assurance makes us bold in our proclamation of the faith. Assurance makes us obedient. Assurance makes us more confident about our adoption as sons. Assurance makes us eager, looking forward with anticipation to our heavenly home, and so our grip loosens on the things of this world. And so turn in your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 2, and we'll only consider verses 3 to verse 6. Now, if you're a faithful reader of the bulletin, you'll know that it was supposed to be from verse 3 to verse 11, but there's two parts in this one passage. So the first part is, by this we know, and the second part will be, by this we see. So this part is, by this we know. 1 John chapter 2, and we pick up our reading from verse 3. It says, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Let me pray for us. Lord, we We pray even now again as I preach, Lord, that you would help me to be a vessel of truth. God, I pray that I would only speak not my own opinion, but only that which is true of your word and that is true of you. I pray, Lord, that I would be a cleansed conduit that, God, you are going to use to encourage your people. I pray that your people would leave here, Lord, with a clearer idea of how they can be assured of their faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray for this time of fellowship through the preaching of your word, again, may it be led by your spirit to the glory of your name. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The sermon only has one point, and the one point is, by this we know. By this we know. We see this in verses 3 to verse 5 for now. It says, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. Friends, this book is perfect for those who are struggling with assurance of their faith. Verse 3 is so clear, by this we know. Again, we have covered that God is light. We have covered that we were born in darkness. We have covered that there is cleansing in his blood. We have covered that there is forgiveness found in the faithful and just God. The question now is, those things are internal realities. Being forgiven by God is an internal reality. And so how can we identify those who have believed and enjoy the benefits of those realities? How can we identify those who have been transformed from the kingdom of darkness and have been transferred into the kingdom of his light? See, the readers of this letter were surrounded by Gnostics, I've said this before, who said that they have a special knowledge. They were saying that they were enlightened. They were those who knew the truth, and so they were of the light. John, however, in this passage is arguing that you don't know that you're a child of God simply by experience. Experience in the faith and a special knowledge does not give you a guarantee that you are his child. But how then do you know that you are a child of God? He tells us, if you keep his commandments. You see, John is pretty straightforward. If you keep the commandments of God, that will indicate that your life has been changed. It will indicate that you have a new heart. It will indicate that you have a new mind. It will indicate that the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you. Now, when John is saying, we know that you are a child of God by keeping his commandments, he's not simply thinking about the Ten Commandments. We've already seen in this letter that he is bringing to remembrance all the things that he heard of Jesus. And so there were many commandments that Jesus gave us, especially in John's letter. But some of the things that John could be thinking about was, be salt of the earth and light of the world. Another commandment could be, do not be angry, calling people names like, you fool. Another commandment could be, don't look at a person lustfully, because in looking at them lustfully, you've already committed adultery. Another one could be, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Another one could be, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The point is, Jesus has left us with many commandments that should help us to be obedient to him and help us identify if we are mature in the faith. And so again, your number of years in the faith is not an evidence of maturity. Only obedience to God is a measure of spiritual maturity. A tree is known by its fruit. But there's something here that I want us to say, just on that note of experience and long time in the faith. I want to give you a one-liner. Longevity in our spirituality does not equal maturity in our Christianity. Longevity in our spirituality does not equal maturity in our Christianity. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. It seems like in John's context, there were those who were saying, hey, I know him. But they didn't find obedience to God as something that was important. There were those who were saying, I know him. But there was no fruit of them keeping the commandments of God. And so in a similar fashion, like in the dialogue that he gave us when he was talking to sin, John calls them out and he calls them, you liar. You don't know him because you're not keeping his commandments. Again, we can pick up that John is taking from what he has heard from Jesus, because Jesus himself asked this question. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you do not do what I tell you? You see, friends, words are cheap. Words are easier said, but walking is difficult. If you are married or if you're dating, you've probably received empty promises from the person that you love. I promise I will never do that again, only for them to do it again tomorrow. They have good intentions, but never deliver. But Jesus said, why are you busy making professions about me being Lord when you know very well that I'm not sitting on the throne of your heart? He goes on to say, whoever comes to me, this is Jesus, hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He goes on to say, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation of that house. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been built well. Jesus likens obedience to his word to someone building a house on a firm foundation. The foundation of your faith must be the word of God with Jesus as your chief cornerstone. Friends, is the Bible the final rule for your faith and your practice? In your life, do you find that the scriptures are sufficient for all matters of life and godliness? A preacher by the name of Martin Lloyd-Jones said, there is nothing more important than the word of God. It is the foundation of the Christian faith. Without it, there is no hope. Without it, there is no salvation. Without it, there is no life. How will they be saved without hearing? Friends, the tree is known by its fruit. And so may the word of Christ be so grafted in your heart that we may be fruitful in every good word and in every good work. The truth is, the mouth commonly speaks generally what agrees with what is most on its heart. And so the mouth is the biggest giveaway to the state of your heart. And so friends, where and on what have you built your house? Have you built your house on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and his word? You see, the house that is built on the rock is not recognized by its furnishings. It is not recognized by its neatly trimmed gardens. But it is seen when the flood comes, when the dams break, when calamities arises, when crisis comes, when circumstances and suffering is your portion. Will that house stand? When the world is burying your head in its demands and in its expectations, will your house stand? Are you still as obedient to God when your life is going well, when the sun is shining, when there's a beautiful rainbow and the demands on your life are low? Is that only when you obey God, or is your obedience dependent on circumstance? See, what I want us to quickly see is the world has lied to us. The world has lied to us that, hey, you can rebrand your Christianity. You can rebrand your Christianity to suit you. And hey, you can love God in your own way. The world has lied and has said, hey, you have the luxury to redefine Christianity and lower the standards of God. Friends, that is the work of the devil. If you go to the garden, he made the similar claims to lessen the standards of God, to lift and exalt man. I've heard many argue that God and I, we have an understanding. I've heard many tell me, Jabu, God and I, we have a good relationship. We have a good relationship where God understands why I disobey him. No. The commandments of old are still true today. From Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Now, O Israel, what does the Lord require of you? But fear him and love him and walk in his precepts. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 to 20. Choose life, even to love the Lord your God and to serve him and to cleave to him. In that same passage, Jesus continues and says that the one who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a man who built the house on the ground without a foundation. When the streams broke against it, immediately it fell, and listen to this, and the ruin of that house was great. The ruin of that house was great because the builders of that house are those who will be saying on the last day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty works in your name? Jesus says, he will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Interesting that phrase there, you workers of lawlessness is you workers of disobedience. Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Friends, it's very simple. The love of God is perfected in you through the word of God. The formula is simple. The word of God is the key to your spiritual maturity. It is the key to your growing in your love for God. Simply put, obedience to God's word is proof of our walking in light. Our love of God is defective if it is without obedience. Friends, a life empty of obedience is disconnected from God. Oh, believer, the devil, he wants you to edit the Bible. He wants you to neglect the Bible. He wants you to grow weary of the Bible. He wants you to pick and choose the parts of the Bible that you are comfortable with. He wants you to tear out the parts that make you uncomfortable. Friends, he wants you to make alterations to the truth. In fact, this week I listened to a speaker who said, how does the devil get you? He says he gets you in a simple way. He gets you by hiding a lie in between two truths. See, the tendency of the Gnostics in John's day was to dismiss the deeds done by the body as unimportant as long as they possessed the right knowledge. This made it easy for false teachers, because false teachers would just come up and say, all you need is the right knowledge and forget about obedience and you are in the light. Friends, there's a scary reality for our people even today. There's a scary reality that there are people who know the doctrines of the faith. There are people who know the famous scholars. They know the famous podcasts. They know the famous pastors. They know which music band we're not listening to and which music band we should listen to. They know the greatest arguments that are hot on the table in the theological frame, but they don't know how to apply the word of God. They have big heads, but shallow obedience to God. They know the word of God, but they don't know how to keep it. John is suggesting here that because of this, though they may sound mature, they are not. John is saying, though they are strumming the right tune, the love of God is not being perfected in them. There are many who also are happy to say, Jesus, I love you as my Savior. But they struggle to have him as Lord. When the Philippian jailer asked Paul, what must we do to be saved? What did he say? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Christ is not only the Savior to deliver us from sin, but he is the Lord to rule us by his word and spirit. John's argument is those who walk in the light are easily spotted by their obedience to the word of God. And so, who is the master of your life? As you sit here currently, who is pulling the strings to your life? Is it God? Is it the world or is it you? Martin Luther says, faith is not a passive thing. It leads us to obedience. He says, true faith obeys the commands of God, listen to this, with joy and gratitude, for it recognizes his authority and goodness. And so who are Christians? Christians are those who have their lives submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. When we come to faith in Christ, we dethrone ourselves. When we come to faith in Christ, we die to ourselves, we pick up our crosses daily, and we follow after him. Friends, if our lives are not marked by obedience to Jesus, then we have little reason to believe that we are walking in the light. And so here's a quick test that you can do. Go to the Christian's office. Go to the Christian's home. Go to the Christian social club. Go to the Christian school, and you'll easily identify Christians not by their uniform, but by their obedience to God. Let me try and make this a little more practical. Parents, who is master in the way that you are currently raising your children? Is Caesar or the world king of your parenting style? Is Caesar or the world king of the dreams and the goals and the expectations that you have set for your children? Or is the Lord the king over that? Is Caesar or the world developing your child? Or are you actively discipling them in the ways of the Lord so that when they are older, they will not depart from it? Luther argued that the life of a Christian is a life lived in recognition of Christ's lordship over every part of their existence and in submission to his salvation. And so Sarah, Mikungelo, Nadia, I see she's not here, Judah, Abakwe, I want you guys to ask mommy and daddy, I see Malachi's there, but Malachi wouldn't understand. Malachi, ask mommy and daddy, what does it look like to have Jesus as your master practically today? TT, Zintle, Faith, Paige, Dembe, Rorisang. What does it look like to have Christ as your master in your teenage years? What does it mean to have him master your friendships? What does it mean to have him master your relationships? What does it mean to have him master your school? What does it mean to have him be the master of the way that you do the chores? What does it mean to have him master you coming to church? Ruben, San Marie, Karen, Onika. What does it mean to have Christ as master of your university years where you are developing your thinking and you are being shaped into a new person? What does it mean to have Christ develop that? What does it mean to have Christ as master over that? Nondumiso, Tando, Tando, Cephas, Pacific, John, Chan, Peto, Kiara. How is Christ the master of what is called your young professional years? The world is your oyster. Your ambitions are burning. But how is Christ the master of the decisions that you are making? Elekbede, Oscar, Vibrium, Priscina, Anne, Yogi, Charles, Joseph, Godfrey, Yuta. What does it mean to have Christ as the master of your life now? You've been around the block. You've been there. You've done that. You've got the t-shirt. But what does it mean to have Christ as master of your life now when your routines are set and your life is basically built? Just fit yourself in those different categories, and the question is the same for you. What does it mean to have Christ master over you? What about the couples in this room? Couples, who dictates the direction of your marriage? Who dictates your hobbies? Who dictates your sex life? Who dictates your conduct in your home? Who dictates your hospitality? Singles, who determines how you spend your time? Who leads and guides your affections? What is the most, if not, what has all of your attention? You probably get the picture. From the youngest person in this room with understanding, to the eldest person in this room, from the married to the singles, from the parents to not, from the students to the unemployed, from the young professionals to the workforce, to the professors to the businessmen, to the homemakers to the grandparents, to the retired folk at the home, we have the responsibility to inquire, what does it look like to have Christ as master of our lives? The test that you know him is that you are keeping his commandments. This is all that thou shalt not, but it is also all that thou shalt. And so finally, look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, whoever says he abides, whoever says he tabernacles, whoever says he dwells in him, ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. John is simply saying that Christians are those who look like Jesus. Christians are those who grow in looking more and more like Jesus every day. And so how did Jesus look like? Well, he was obedient to his Father in every way. He was gentle and lowly. He was holy in all of his conduct. He was faithful in prayer. He was compassionate. He was meek. He was a servant. He was humble. He had zeal for the house of the Lord. He was bold and unapologetic about his gospel proclamation. He was in people's homes. He was forgiving. He loved sacrificially, and he walked in the power of the Spirit. Are those things true of you? Are those things being developed in you? See, the list is long, but the point is, the end of our faith must be that we look like Jesus Christ. And so, as we eagerly await for his return, friends, we ought to be busy with our walk, being sanctified, being filled by his word and led by his Spirit. We need to be active in edifying others that they are faithful in obeying Jesus. We need to be faithful in searching our hearts to see if there be any sin within us. We need to be faithful to say, what is it that God demands of me to do, and how can I do it well? We started the sermon with a game. The game was called Spot the Character. If we had to turn it around and play the game Spot the Christian, would we spot you? The question this morning, and we've probably heard it asked before, is if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you want to know if you are truly saved, then look at your life. Are you walking in obedience, and are you walking as Jesus walked? By this, we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you have set us in a world that is full of trials and temptations. In this world, God, we pray that you would remind us that even in the midst of these, you remain Lord. This morning, I ask you, God, that you would give us grace to obey your commands. Protect us, God, from any form of legalism, but Lord, stir us to faithfulness, that we may walk in holiness and follow you faithfully. Help us to look like Jesus. Help us to delight in Jesus. Help us to delight in doing your will. Help us to act in accordance with your word. Help us to serve you without any distractions. May our obedience to you, God, be a reflection of our love for you, our trust in your goodness, and our trust in your wisdom. God, for all the people in different stages of their lives, God, may they be those who ask themselves, what does it look like to have Christ as master of my life today? May we be those who obey your commands in every way. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.